Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to our weekly internet program. I'm your host, Melissa Joy Lewis, and you're listening to Free on the Inside, an internet program to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you to be all you could be. I want to thank you once again for tuning in to our weekly internet program. I pray that you tell somebody about what God is doing at this time. I want you to share that God is still able. You have listened to some great guests each and every week, so why keep it to yourself? Tell somebody what God is up to. I like to share our call-in number. Our contact number is 310-982-4126. Again, that contact number is 310-982-4126. We have our guest on the line this morning here, and we'll bring him up in just a few minutes. Again, we'd like to just thank you for being a part of our show. Kick back and relax and see what God is up to at this time. Amen. So as you prepare yourself, our upcoming guests, I'd like to play this musical selection to kind of set the mood here, and then we'll go on with our guest this morning. Amen. And so we thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. And so please, please, please be mindful that this is God's business. Amen. Yes, our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. Without any further delay, I'd like to introduce you to our guest this morning. I have heard this young man speak, and I've seen the power that God have embedded in him. He's coming in and to the studio, our virtual studio, and he's going to share with us the goodness of God Jesus. And I'm at the next voice you'll hear will be our guest of the hour here, evangelist, a man of God, a servant of the Most High. Evangelist Roland Simplex. Good morning, Evangelist. Welcome to the net. Welcome to Free on the Inside.
Good morning, Minister Lewis. Glad to be on the program.
Thank you very much for being on our program. We know that, you know, Saturday morning, I'm going to share it with you. Saturday morning is your time. It's personal time you to sit back and relax and reflect on the goodness of God. But you willing to share your time with me and with God this morning. You sharing your time with us. Oh, that's awesome now, brother. That means that you being free on the inside. You say, well, regardless of where I feel, I'm doing it for the kingdom. I'm doing it unto God. That's the purpose of being that free on the inside. Because guess what? You could be laying down. You could be asleep. You could be having a cup of coffee. You could just be relaxing. But yet you say, I'm going to get up and be about my Father's business. God bless you, Evangelist.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir. Yes,
Go ahead.
I know I had the option to be on the 8:30 or 8 a.m., but I wanted to take the earlier time just to make that extra bit of effort for the Lord. Amen.
You know what? Some people don't think about that. Some of you, well, I'm going to take the easy way out. But you know, when God said go, he said go. You know, God, what do you want me to do? Just show up. I tell you what to do when you get there. I think so much of Abraham, when he told Abraham, say, get up and go. And Abraham, I'm pretty sure he pondered where he going to go, but he got up and went. You know, a lot of times we have to take up on that's a challenge. That's why I said, you know, challenge you to, you know, encourage you to be strong in the Lord, you know, to inform you, to encourage you, and to challenge you. That's what our show is about. So I tell you what, inform us the goodness of God and challenge us to be about all that we could be for the kingdom. Introduce yourself and tell us about the ministry that God put to your hands to do.
My name is Ronan Avery Simplex. I was originally from Belize, Central America, and came to the U.S. for better opportunities, and came to Texas, met my wife here, We've been together some 20 years now, and
hey,
five beautiful children. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The only job I had here, and I understand why, was working for 7-Eleven for 12 years. And it was through 7-Eleven I began to distribute the food to the communities. And so we now have this ministry called House of Bread Outreach and Prayer Ministry. And last year we were blessed to serve over 50,000 people with food. We furnished many apartments and homes. Many lives came to the Lord. There were much healings, deliverances, baptismals. And so I thank God for the opportunity he has afforded me in this time we're living in.
Hey, man, you know what you said? Something. A lot of us, we are mad and disappointed and angry about the thing that we do to take care of our family. But God has put you in a position not only will you take care of your family, but you can reach out to the needs of other men and women and their families. Isn't it a blessing to let say, hey, I don't know why, God, but now I see what you're doing. You know, I talk to men in jail, and, you know, Isaiah 35:5 said that God would open up those blinded eyes and unstop those death ears. Sometimes we're already doing the work of the ministry, but we just can't see it. Thank you for pointing that out to us, evangelist.
Yes, it's kind of interesting because when God took me out of corporate America, out of 7-Eleven, the name of the ministry would be the House of Bread Outreach and Prayer Ministry, and I was thinking to myself for a moment, Lord, if you're sending me out into the fields, no money bags, nothing, no sandals, no cloak, according to Luke 9:1, you want me to feed the multitude on top of that? But that's the amazingly great, unlimited God that we serve. He's not moved by what's transpiring in the world. Amen.
Amen, amen. And I'm so glad you said that, because sometimes we look at what we have. We look at the masses that you want us to do, and God just wants you to go out. I'll make the provision. You know, we say that our Father, our Lord, our Savior, on the count of 1,000 here. We're talking about Jesus Christ and his Father God. But yet we don't want to believe that, and we don't want to walk in that. You know, because God already made a way for us, you know. He owns it. You know, he'll put us in the position to benefit from those things. So thank you for pointing that out. You know, I love it, man. Because we do ministry. And a lot of times, we can't do the thing that people see you do. Raul over there at the Breath of Life ministry and what you're doing, we couldn't do this by ourselves. It has to be
Amen.
God. God bring people in your life and in your path to assist you.
Amen. And for a lot of unbelievers, for a lot of people that doesn't know God, ministries like this is a conduit for reaching them, because all our work is done freely to the people, and it's totally dependent upon the support, the donations of those that have a spirit of benevolence, a spirit of charity. So I thank God for him providing the resources for us to continue to go into deeper places, more challenging places, and extend the ministries as he brings us together also in this hour, so that we can glean from each other, and we can encourage each other, and we can be more effective as one body fitly joined together by love.
And that is so true. Now, tell me now, before we get into our theme for this morning here, now, as you do this ministry, we realize that everybody is not in need of things. Some people are just doing it because it's available. How do you manage those from still helping those that really need it and those that take advantage of it? Because let's face it, we know that everybody that said, Lord, Lord, isn't about our Lord and Savior. So how do you and your ministry team work through those things to let someone else know? Because someone else is getting ready to go out, and you see people time after time that just take the resources and just go on off and come back next week, and they want the same thing, and you know what they're about. How do you and your team work through that?
You know, this ministry keeps you prayed up, that's for sure. You know, there were 10 lepers that got healed, and I believe there was only one that came back and said thanks. So you'll always have those situations. However, we don't let the few stop us from the greater picture, which is to continue to serve, because many of these people are on set income. They have to pay their medicine before they provide food for their family. They're being laid off. Food is very costly, and we get the opportunity to share the gospel with them, which is the most beautiful part. So we don't focus much on their part. We just focus on what God is telling us to do in this hour.
Hey, man, God bless you. Thanks for sharing that, because sometimes people wrestle with that. And I try to tell the ministry team and myself, we're not concerned with that. Even Jesus said, you know, the people said, send them away. And Jesus said, no, what do you have? And people, they don't realize that. They said, now, what do you have? Say, we got this fear. God want to know, what do you have to meet the needs for these people? I work through that, what you have. What do you have? Well, I got a connection over here. I know somebody over there. Well, bring them together, and I'll do the blessing and the increase. So thank you for sharing that.
Amen, amen.
Now, last weekend I was, I saw you at the Breath of Life Ministry, a street ministry in South Dallas with Brother Raul and his ministry team over there, and we all been supporting and helping him out. And it's a great ministry. Now you were sharing with the men and women over there about the end time event. Please share some of that with us this morning. We know we can't cover the whole thing, but what have God laid on your heart concerning those things?
Well, definitely the year 2017 is a very special year, and all the years have been special. Amen. However, so many prophetic things are converging in this particular year, and I saw how God awakened my spirit in the beginning of the year to speaking the gospel through numbers. And just a month and a half ago, I had the opportunity, after praying there at the barbecue, at Papa's Barbecue on Tuesdays, we do a gathering there at 1:30, thanks to Brother Gilbert. And
yes,
his precious family.
Yes.
Yeah, on Tuesdays we do that right off Northwest Highway and 35. It's lunch and fellowship, the Word of God, worship, salvation, prayer. And so we were out there, and as the man of God, the psalmist was ministering, the Holy Spirit placed in his heart to tell the people that there's an open heaven to ask the Lord for whatever you desire in this time. And my request to the Lord, my petition was, Lord, you have told me that your return is near. However, there's one prayer that still remains, and that is for me to visit the land of Israel. And so as I thanked the Lord for that, a few minutes after that, I went into the barbecue area where they were all dining. And that's when I was approached and I was invited to go to Israel.
Amen.
Yes, sir. 9 days after that, nine is the number for judgment for the world. Nine. It's also the number of the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, spirit-filled believer, amen. Nine gifts of the Spirit, nine fruit of the Spirit. And so the numbers were bouncing back and forth, but as it turned out, nine of us ended up going on the trip.
Man, oh, my God. God is awesome. Go ahead now, brother. I'm just excited about what God is doing.
Yes, certainly. So that was the Tuesday. He said we would be going on the first, which would have made it exactly 9 days. We left 9 days the following Thursday. There's that nine again. And we would to return on the seventh. And he, I'm sure when he prepared the itinerary, he didn't even think about this, but on the first, coming back on the seventh, as in 2017, I knew that God would do a divine work in my life, and that I would have some experiences that would completely change me in this hour. And so I went on a fast. I also was made to understand that there would be a Muslim young man in attendance on the trip, which is to be his the gentleman's son-in-law that invited me on the trip with his family. And so I went on a fast for 3 days, and we left out that Thursday. We traveled to Atlanta, from Atlanta to New York, and then to David Ben-Gurion Airport in Tel Aviv. It took about a day between the flights and the layovers and everything. And the flights, they were very pleasant and accommodating. Praise God, I'd never flown that long before in my life. The flight from New York to Tel Aviv was like close to 11 hours. So, just the thought of being on a plane, for 11 hours. But they made it quite pleasant. And the flights are typically overnight, so that's the time you'd be at rest. And so by the time you awake in the morning, you're pretty close to Israel. So it's a well planned out process, and everything went smoothly. The first individual I met on the plane, I had to sit in the middle in the B seat, and I'm a pretty tall guy. I'm about 6'2", and it was nice, comfortable. And guys on my left and guy on my right, and the host would tell me that the guy on the left will not open much to the conversation, so I focused on the guy on the right, and he was just finishing up his master's. I'm like, oh, master, thank you, Lord, you are master. Thank you for reminding me that. Yes,
I love it.
Hallelujah. Yes, man, I tell you, God, if we just look for God, we'll see him in just about everything. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so he's from Rwanda, by the way. And I was expecting him to have an African name and such. Well, he told me his first name is Vital, V-I-T-A-L. I said, whoa, God, this is getting heavy. This is getting heavy here. Vital. I'm like, okay, I understand, Lord, that this is going to be a vital time with you. And so that just blessed me there, brother.
Yeah, amen.
Yes, sir. But we made it over there to Israel, and we spent the first night in Tel Aviv. And it's a very modernized city there, very, very modernized. I was a little bit surprised, very much like the United States. But there's such an awe about that nation. There's such a reverence. There's such a presence there. It was just amazing. And, of course, it was the Shabbat. So when we got there on Friday, everything was getting ready to close down at sundown.
Before you go any further, now explain to our listening audience, what is the Shabbat, so we understand what religious holiday or feast are they celebrating?
Yes, that's the day of rest, the seventh day, basically, as was instructed in Genesis. Yes. So that's the day when you're not supposed to do nothing. And of course, if you're an Orthodox Jew, the ultra-Orthodox Jew, you believe strongly, of course, in the first five books, and they still try to upkeep these laws, which are literally impossible. We know that. But so... They do a lot of things around that particular day, and so businesses would close, and it would just be a quiet time, and they would not participate in much activity, but just be with family and loved ones and friends.
So they take that day to heart. Then we know about it, but some cultures, they say, well, we know about it, but we don't follow that tradition. But they actually would shut down or wind down a lot of business and activities and just spend time with God and family.
Yes, certainly. And Tel Aviv, like I said, is more modernized, but they even have a high respect for that day, the Holy Shabbat. And seven is a profound divine number of God. It's a number of perfection, creation, and excellence, especially when it's a multiplicity of seven. In fact, we're in the air 5777 in the Hebrew calendar, which means complete perfection, complete excellence, which means there is nothing else remaining. Of course, 5 is a number of grace. So, you know, even that in itself is very prophetic. That's the year we're in right now in the Hebrew calendar, along with our year, which is 2017 on the Gregorian calendar. And so we first visited the old city of David there, and we get to see the Golden Gate, which is the place where the Lord is supposed to return at. And we saw the Dome of the Rock, the Al-Aqsa Mosque, all these beautiful sightings and historical places. Man, the presence of God was just so present. One of the first places we also visited was the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah,
we saw the olive there, and man, that's a beautiful place just to reflect on what our Savior persevered through, and we're all to persevere and carry our crosses just as He did. And one of the scripture mentioned was, "Lord God, take this cup from me," and then with that same breath He said, "But Lord, not my will, but Your will be done." I believe in Luke it mentioned that He was praying so hard that it was like blood coming out of His pores, like He was perspiring literal drops of blood. And that was because He knew that the challenge that lied before Him would be undaunting. However, He knew He had not completed the work He was sent to do, then everything would have been a total failure. And He wanted His family restored back to Him. So thank God for that beautiful reminder there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it was right there at there's a Catholic church there on site. And when I came out of there, the tour guide had been doing some research on our names. And after all these years, came to find out that Ronan in Hebrew means joy. And I'm, Lord, I'm going to need that in days. Yes, sir, joy. Ronan means joy. We got to visit the Western Wall and Via Dolorosa, the path that Jesus walked to His crucifixion there. Visited the Dead Sea, very fascinating place over there. Jericho, likewise, and you know, the whole place is just so prospering and beautiful. I want to say that it is safe in Jerusalem. I never saw no bombings, no people being harmed, injured, none of the above. It is safe to travel there. It's probably one of the most safest places on the earth, really. And the news media tend to twist a lot of things, but I never had to worry one moment about the security or any of that sort there. We had the opportunity to go up to Galilee, beautiful place. And I could just imagine why the Lord spent a lot of time there at Galilee. You know, the Beatitudes and the miracles, the Sea of Galilee. There's a lot of stories in the Bibles about that. Capernaum, beautiful, beautiful place right on the coastline. And just glorious. A lot of historic structures still remain there. Praise God. And then we went on to Bethlehem and to Nazareth and to the mountain of temptation. That's where Jesus was tempted, as it's written in the book of Matthew, I believe, around the fourth chapter or so. And to Cana, where He did His first miracle at the wedding, turning water into wine. And I believe it was towards the end of the tour, we drove by the Valley of Megiddo, the Valley of Final Battles, the Valley of Armageddon. Yes. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And it's interesting that was towards the end of the little pilgrimage we had there. And very fascinating to see that place actually does exist, where all the nations will shortly converge, and there will be this massive war in which even our Lord and Savior and the saints from heaven will come back and smite the enemies in short time. Of course, it won't be much of a war, but it will be very devastating for from mankind as we prepare to transition into the other time, which is the millennial reign. I personally believe through my studies that the next great event in biblical history is the rapturing of the church, the taking away, the harpazo. I've been doing studies on prophecy for some time now. I've always been intrigued with it. But one thing always challenged me was the passage in Revelation chapter 12. I know my time is short, but I want everyone to please research Revelation chapter 12 in your own time. There is an event happening in September 23rd in the heavens, and it is a manifestation of the very prophetic nature of Revelation chapter 12, and it lines up exactly. And so hopefully I can be on your show again another time, sir. I know we're pressed for time right now. The time surely went by quick. God bless you, and thank you. Thank you so much. And begin to look up, people, because our redemption draws nigh. And if you don't know God today, I just ask that you invite him into your heart. This is the most important thing you can do. Tomorrow is promised to no man. But God bless you all once again. Thanks for having me, Minister Lewis. And y'all have a wonderful day. Thank you.
All right. Before you go there, Evangelist, we have one call on the line. I just want to say hello to you. Do you have a minute?
Yes, certainly.
Okay, great. We are next for us. You're here. Good morning, Mr. Daniel. We have Evangelist rolling on the line. Would you like to ask him a question regarding some things he may have shared with us this morning? Hello, Mr. Daniel.
Hey, how you doing, Reverend Lewis?
I'm doing great. We have Evangelist on the line there. He said he shared with us quite a bit of information. Anything you'd like to ask him regarding what he just shared this morning?
Yeah, I always wanted to take a trip to the Holy Land and see the sights and see everything and see the biblical facts for myself, you know. I'd like to ask him a question.
Go right ahead. He's on the net. He's on.
Okay. In the forefront of what's happening today, and what is prophetically written in the Word, it says that in the last days and time, there will be signs and wonders, and everything else seems to be being put into place. And I'd like to ask him, what is one of the first signs that he yourself as a I would say you a prophet, what do you see that's coming into what's coming into place in the prophetic?
Man, I would have to try to be on your show some other time, Minister Lewis. Yes, you know.
What I'm saying, bro.
Daniel, let him go ahead and answer that, because we're charlatan.
Okay.
Let him go ahead and answer that, and we'll go ahead, Evangelist.
Everything that God's been doing in my life points to one thing. It points to the numbers. Working at 7-Eleven, old Tank Kevin for 7-Eleven. It's not a coincidence in that. I met my wife there. She didn't meet me there, but I met her there. Basically, the bride will be caught up to the bridegroom. She came to the store, which I'm the bridegroom, which is a type of the wedding, the 7-Eleven, old Tank Kevin. We know about that. But my birthday is May 21st, which is 5777. And that, of course, came into play this year. And so many things. My anniversary date is September 21st, and the Feast of Trumpets is supposed to be between September 21st and September 23rd. Also, if you notice, we have a president in office that came into office on his 70th birthday, 7 months and 7 days, 777. His name is Donald Trump, and his vice president is Mike Pence, Trumpets, last name, Trumpets. That's not a coincidence. Donald John Trump. Donald means world ruler, and John is in the book of Revelation. And so even the time when he sent out the missiles to Syria and Afghanistan, it was exactly 7 to 7 days after he had been in office. And so the numbers are showing what time it is. But you have to research Revelation chapter 12 on social media, and you will see that there will be a sign in the heavens with the constellation of Leo and Virgo, and the star Jupiter is in, right now it's in gestation, literally in her womb, going around for 9 months. And on September 23rd, that star is going to leave for a womb, and it's going to be caught up to the heaven. And the word caught up to the heaven is the word in Hebrew called harpazo, which means to rapture, to take away suddenly. So I'm not a date setter. I'm not trying to set no dates to anything. But I believe this is the season we're in, sir. We're in heavy birth pains right now. There's things converging in the world. Wars, rumors of wars, everything. And this is also the era of Jubilee. It's the era of the great Super Shemitah. It's 50 years from 1967, the Six-Day War, when Jerusalem came back. It's also prophetically in line with 1947-48, when Israel was first birthed as a nation. It's in line with 2017, when Great Britain gave the Balfour Declaration that, yes, Israelites must come back to their land. After hundreds of years, this declaration was birthed. And so 2017 is a very, very prophetic year. In fact, the number 577 says that the Lord is in the field with his sword, which means he's doing battle because the harvest is great. And I thank God that he gave me the outreach ministry this time so that as many souls can be won. That should be the most important thing right now. Paul told young Timothy before he expired in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it is, he said to be watchful, to be vigilant. He says to endure all things, to do the work of an evangelist, and to fulfill your ministry. And I think those are critical things that we need to focus on. We need to come together in love and unity as one body and help serve each other so that every ministry can be accommodated, whether it's resources, personnel, facilities, whatever it may be. God bless you all. I hope that helped you some.
Yes, it did. Yes, God bless you. We realize that you have some things to do this morning. We want to thank Brother Daniel for the question he asked, and we're looking forward to having you to be a guest at a later date to kind of give us some more in-depth on this, on the end times and your relationship with our Heavenly Father as he's sending you on this missionary journey to touch the hearts and souls of men and women all over the world and any place you may go. God bless you, evangelist. Have a great day in the Lord. I'm looking forward to seeing you. And I know I will. Our path always crosses, you know. So thank you for your line. Thank you for spending your time with us this morning. Amen.
God bless you all. God bless you. The signs are here.
Yes, sir. God bless you. We'll be talking later. Amen. What a great interview that we had there with Evangelist Roland. Amen. He was sharing with us some of the end time events and sharing with us about his trip over to the Holy Land. He was encouraging us. Now I want to go. Amen. But, you know, it let us know that God is able. We realize that evangelists have some other things to do today, but yet he spent time with us this morning. Brother Daniel, thank you for the question that you had rendered this morning. Amen. It was right on time, very timely, very poignant. And we pray that you got the answer that you was seeking, and we're looking forward to having the evangelist come back on at a later date to give us more information regarding Revelation 12 and the end time events. Amen. Now, Brother Daniel. Yes, sir. You were at a event the other evening. Now, tell us something about what went on there or whatever else God have on your heart.
Well, I was in Corinth, Texas, which is about a little bit out from Louisville, Texas, about 10 miles away from Denton, Texas. And it was a conference given by the prophet Brian Kahn. And Prophet Kahn said a whole lot of things about, you know, a lot of end time stuff and how he was saying that America basically is it's going to be judged by God because of how we're what's happening is they're perverting, letting the church be perverted in order to, accept people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, go on. I'm listening to you. Go right ahead.
Okay.
You know, it's the thing that we need to hear, brother.
What he's saying, you could go off in the book of Jude.
In the book of Jude, okay.
The book of Jude.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically, what it was telling about how the law and the commands basically of God was given to the apostles. And through this law, it was given directly to the apostles, and they gave it to the layman, the other people. Basically, what we're saying is that the law of God was given, it is written, and basically it's not supposed to be compromised.
All right, we agree with you on that. And we realize because of the hardness and sinful ways of man that we compromise the word of God in various
ways. Basically, what he was saying is that basically what's going on is that going through the different ministries we have in the world, basically the word of God has been compromised by letting all these things what's going on in the world, all these laws that folks. Everything they're voting in, and basically what's happening is people are accepting these 30 things in order to satisfy the people instead of satisfying God. Now, are you with me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's happening is you're getting a distorted view of the word of God in order to please the people. And the same thing was going on with Aaron and Moses, way Aaron saying he was did this. Why did you do this? Why did you make this go? I was doing what the people told me to do. You know? So what's happening, he was saying that if God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, what force
Amen.
Should he do to America? You know? If he could destroy a whole civilization like that, and here we are right now, we're supposed to be civilized people and promised, but basically we are the more corruptest, perverted generations I have ever seen in this country. And if you look at it, then you will want to try to say, wow, these things going on in the world. Why are people killing each other? Why are young kids killing each other? Why are young boys won't respect the elders? Why people won't do this? Why are people just up and murdering people and doing all sorts of things? Why are people, basically acting like they're controlled by spirits doing things that are naturally ungodly? And then later on, when you ask, you take them to court, the laws basically, they won't want to say that there's a spirit that's inside a person that makes them act insane. You're insane. You know, there's no such thing as a spirit that makes a person do a certain deed. You know, what make a man go inside a church and kill 9 people?
So, what can we do, Brother Daniel? It's been born again. Christians have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. What can we do to offset the course of what we're doing as America, as a nation, as a people? We know that it's hard, but what can we do?
We can't do
ministry
nothing.
People?
God has to do it. God's going to put out his judgment on us.
So you're saying we got to
It's out
of
our hands.
We got to be like
America,
which are called by my name.
Either you're going to repent. Either that we're going to hold, it's going to repent, or basically it's going to go to prophetically, what's happening.
All right.
And basically, if it's something that happens prophetically, there's nothing you can do about it. It's going to have to go its course.
So we
have
to be like what
the
scripture said. We have to be like scripture said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their sinful ways, I will restore them and heal the land. So we got to go on that principle then, right?
But also you look at this too, Reverend Lewis. There's some people it's going to be a large, I can say it's a large, a small, large, of saved people that are going to be preserved from this judgment. Because all this, all the praying and that you're doing, you're going to get a reward for it. But the ones that won't take heed and change, they're going to get destroyed. In what's happening with the revelational prophecy.
All right,
look
all
at
right.
Revelation,
good,
how it said how to, yeah.
That's
so
good stuff,
basically,
there's
going to be a certain number of.
So what did you get out of, what did you glean out of the conference you went to, or the program you went to last evening? What was the keynote thing? What was it that
the keynote is America is on, basically it's on its last leg.
Okay. Now what about the other countries? Now America, what about Europe, Africa, Mexico, Canada? Are we in this?
Well, they're not
in
with us. They're not with us. I mean, it might be the whole southern part. I mean, northern hemisphere might be destroyed. There's going to be plagues. There's going to be earthquakes. There's going to be famine. There's going to be so much murder on the face of the earth that basically,
I can't describe it.
Revolution. I can't describe it. But whatever's in this punishment, we got to go through with it. Because if you believe in God and you believe in the Word of God, and we reading these scriptures, and this brother today was telling you how all these different numbers and numerical situations are falling into place. He's saying today that basically America, as we see it today, basically what's going to happen probably in the next 10 or 15 years, there's going to be a splitting of all the different countries, just like we was between the Civil War. You know what I'm saying?
I understand. Everybody, I hear you. Keep talking.
You know, what we were saying, that if you look at all democracies and all civilizations in the past, basically they last no more than 200 years. You look at the Greeks, you look at the Romans, you look at the Phoenicians, you look at the Egyptians, all of them basically lasted no more than about, I say, 200 years. And after that, the structure of the government basically it fell apart because basically either they were getting punished by God by their disobedience. Basically, the whole situation that was written up was basically it fell apart because it couldn't hold truth with the truths that it taught, that tied together to start from.
Amen. So we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for the government. We need to pray for our city officials. We need to be in prayer. We need to be that at bridge. We need to be that at that gap. We need to stand in for.
And I got a good story right now I want to tell you. I'm going to show you how your laws and everything seem to basically fall into prophetic utterance. They say Texas soon will let you carry a sword and many other weapons. And say the law goes into effect September 1st. They say Texans will soon be able to carry a whole host of new weapons, including swords, spears, daggers, and more. The Lone Star State has passed a law that will allow residents to openly carry knives with blades longer than 5.5 inches. Governor Abbott signed the bill in June, but it does not go into effect until September the 1st. So basically, why would anybody want to walk around with a big, long sword? You know what I'm saying, Rev. Lewis? And what are swords mostly used for?
Yeah,
come on now.
For those self-defense.
Come on now. What are most of the swords, what they've been using with these swords overseas?
Yeah, I understand.
I'm not even going to say it, but you know what they've been doing with these swords. And basically, if you look at it, and prophetically and all this stuff was going on, and that you say that you believe in Jesus Christ, and if somebody came up and asked you, do you deny the name of Jesus, I'll cut your head off.
Mm-hmm. My Lord, my Lord.
Mm. Now you're going to have it openly to let them carry and walk around with a sword. And if you look at it, look at all the different nationalities we have around here in Texas, in America. You know, I'm not saying anything to make anybody fearful, anybody, but God don't give you the spirit of fear. He don't give you. Basically, you're supposed to be preparing yourself for everything what's going on. Because last night, like you were saying, Reverend Lewis, I was at this meeting, and he was telling me, he was showing me this stuff. But basically, God had already showed me all this stuff myself. He had showed me ever since I've been a little boy, I've been seeing this, these things falling, coming together. Even with the mark of the beast, basically. I said, what would this mark be? Well, it's going to be a chip. Chip that they put in your body. Mm. So you can't get no food. You won't do what we say do, so you ain't going to eat. You ain't going to eat this much. You won't say, well, you won't worship this God, this image we put up on the wall. So now you're going to starve. You know? Unless you do
and
what
all those
we
things
say
are coming about, though, Brother Daniel, you know, that's what in the book of Revelation it speaks on those things. But God have already chosen his elect. He already have put his chosen people in place to do his will and to stand in the gap for those that are less fortunate. And let's face it, some people are never going to receive salvation. And that's a given fact. We have family members.
The Bible tells you everybody's not going to go to heaven.
Yeah,
everybody's
not. So what we can do, but we can't stop praying for the world as a whole, for society as a whole. And I love the line of question in your thought pattern regarding what you're saying here. And it's always good to rehearse some, go back over some of these things. Because sometimes we just take it for granted. We say, well, this thing just happened. Now, you look into the Word of God and see how God is lining these things up. We thank for the evangelist for him sharing those things with us. We thank you for you sharing those things with us, brother. And for all those that are listening, we had quite a few people listening this morning. They do not want to make a comment. They just want to receive what was being shared. And we pray that what they receive today, it helped encourage them to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, Ricky, because you know what we do? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual beings. Spiritual wickedness in high places, the way the scripture says.
Amen.
But I am so mindful of what God said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and turn from their sinful ways, then he said, who is Lord, will forgive them of their sin and restore them and heal the land. You know, right now the land is sick, man. The laws of the land is sick. But God said, I'm the healing agent, brother. What used to be wrong is now right. That's a sickness there, brother. That's a spiritual sickness, but God can turn these things around. But we have to stand in the gap. We have to continue to pray. So I thank you for you making yourself available to hear these things, man, because some people say, well, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to be a part of it. But you put yourself in a position to hear that, and not only hear it, but to share it with someone else. Brother Daniel, we're getting ready to get on out of here, man. But I wanted to make mention of some upcoming events that's in the Metroplex and some that is coming, some that are going on today, some that's going on next week, and some that's coming up next month. The last few weeks, we had some great guests on this program. We had a Dr. Diana. She's doing an empowerment conference. Empowerment conference. She's out of the great state of New York, but she's coming down here to Texas, and they're over in the Urban Convention Center, I believe that's the name of it. But they have posted on our Facebook page, and she's doing that empowerment conference. It starts today at 1:00, and then it's a 2-day event today and tomorrow. So we ask you to make your way over there and see what God is doing to be a part of that great conference. She was a guest on the program a couple of weeks ago. She gave us some great information. A truly a great woman of God. They have a lot of things going on, and so it's going to be a worthwhile event. So I encourage you to come on over and check that out. And also we have one at the end of the month. It's Miss Allen with No More Violence. She's doing a youth conference, and Miss Allen is very committed to intervening in the lives of our young men and women to stop the violence. We see on the news each and every day how young men are being plagued by violence. They've been accessible to violent activities, so she's involved in that and helping our young men and women to realize the errors of their way and save their soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Teach our young men how to interact with the police officials, how to interact with each other, how to manage things that they encounter in life. A lot of times, it's because we don't know, we are failing to manage situations, so they get out of hand. Someone bumps into me, someone says something to me, someone wrongs me, so I'm going to just take my own, not thinking about the end result, how you're messing your life up, your family life up, and the person that you're interacting with. That's a threefold deal, Ricky. That's a threefold thing now. And so she's doing that. And also we have our upcoming event in August, which Feeding the Multitude, man. I am so grateful for that. You know, that is that's our seventh year. And, you know, our evangelist was talking about numbers. You know, seven is a year of completion. Well, we thank God that he allowed us to complete the task that he had for us to do, and he's going to expand it. We have great group of volunteers to come down. We have great supporters of that ministry. It started out at our church, Shady Grove Baptist Church, and we thank God after 7 years he continually to do that ministry. A lot of stuff didn't happen. We had a lot of financial woes. A lot of people have dropped off the scene, but God is still able. I'm saying that to encourage someone else, that regardless of what's going on, if God put it to your hands to do, follow through on it. People may come and people may go, but God is still in charge. So don't look around and say, I'm doing it by myself, because you're not doing it by yourself, because God surrounds you with angels, and he's going to make ways for you, and he's going to give you the provisions that you need and the resources that you need to accomplish the task. But this year we're going to be over at Dallas Life Foundation. That's on the 4th Saturday of August, and so we're going to have a great time over there. Dallas Life Foundation is a shelter for men and women and families, and it feeds about 300 people on a daily basis, 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Dallas Life Foundation not only just give men and women shelter for a night, but it also have a drug recovery program, and they have a life courses in there, and they have job management and placement and how to pursue a job. They have a computer lab in there for the residents, and they also have a medical staff that comes down, or the medical kiosk from Parkland that comes down whenever the assigned time of the month. I'm not going to give a date because I don't know exactly, but they come down and take care of the residents' need. And doing a drug recovery program, they have a 9-month stay in the drug recovery program, and it goes through phases. The first phase, you there for the duration of the time, 90 days. Then the second stage that you're able to go out, and then you're looking for a job while you're pursuing the drug recovery program. They have some books and classes that they go through, so it's well organized and well structured, and it's a beautiful facilities. To know more about that, go to our website. You'll see some pictures of Dallas Life Foundation, some of the volunteers that's coming up. So I would encourage you to support this ministry. I encourage you to come on out. If you'd like to be a part of what we're doing in August, just give me a call and we'll make arrangements for you to come on over and volunteer. Maybe bring your group over too, because there's plenty of things for us to do. And so we're looking forward to it.
Man.
So, Brother Daniel, what you got? Do you have anything coming up you'd like to let us know about? Well, this month?
We got to get out in the street, Reverend Lewis. We got to get ready. Next week, we're going to do it.
Next week, we're going to do it.
And we're going to do it. We're going to start making this. We're going to get us a island. I'm not going to brag and pop out right now, but see, I always had a dream of either I was going to win a Grammy or either Emmy or something like that. You know,
well, go right ahead.
I'm not looking for
speaking into existence there, brother.
I'm not worried about getting accolades from men. You know, I lost that a long time ago, Reverend Lewis. When I first started me wanting to be a musician, I started figuring out, man, but and I started seeing all the other folks that were real successful, and I started seeing they ain't too comfortable in doing what they doing. Seemed like they either died broke or they went crazy. You know what I'm saying? And so I said, well, that's not too good a job. You know, I see Mr. Prince. He went crazy. He died. Who else? This other guy, Michael Jackson. But
there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. There's a lot of great artists that went along the way, but they seem to have a you know, an uncomfortable ending. But we all got to go, Ricky. But it's the way you thought about it after you leave, man. After you go, what do people say about you, man? When you can't do no more, man. What is the thought that you leave? What legacy are you leaving behind? Were you an encourager? Were you a supporter? Were you down to help anybody? That's the legacy you leave. You know, sometimes people, you may not ever see them doing anything, but they working in the background, brother. That's awesome now, brother. They working in the background, you know. And that's what God wants us to do. They said, Jesus said, when people saw Jesus, they didn't even recognize him. You know, they said, hey, we got to go over there and kiss this man or hug him or do something that we'll know who he is because we heard about him. And we know he do great things, but we never seen him. We don't even look at
him. They never knew.
They
didn't even know. They didn't even know what he looked like. He was all around the multitudes, and they still didn't know him.
We want people to see the God in us. You know, I do jail ministry, prison, and street. A lot of men I encounter, I never pay no attention, but they see me and say, man, I saw you over here, and I saw you over there. I say, yeah, you saw me, but maybe it was God you seen. Maybe it was God letting you know, where can you go? You know, like he told David in Psalms 139, where can you go to flee from my presence? If you went to the uttermost parts of the earth, I'm there. If you went to the deep and death, that means that you're hiding out. You're at the lowest point of life. And that I'm there with you too. I'm there under the bridge. I'm looking just like you. I'm standing food man, but I'm an angel. I'm telling you, brother, you can do better than this. God love you. So what you mean, man? God love me. Why am I standing in a food line here? Why am I living in a tent? That's because you chose these things. But if you chose the better part of life, I can get you out of this. Now get up and go over there to this shelter. Get up and listen to my voice, and I direct you. People, that's why I said Isaiah 35 said God would open up those blinded eyes and unstop those deaf ears. Imagine, Brother Daniel, if you could see the thing that God had for you. Imagine if you could have heard what God, the plans he had for you, like Jeremiah. Say, I know the plans I have for you to prosper you and to do you no harm. Oh, man, God, I'm scared, but do you know what I got for you? Do you know this ain't going to hurt you? You know, so that's my little take on it. Brother Dan, we got 2 minutes to get on out of here, brother. I'm going to let you close out the last 2 minutes if you have a desire to share something with our listening audience and encourage us. Encourage me, Brother Dan, to be strong in the Lord.
Okay. Well, basically, that's one thing I was going to say, what I learned from last night going to a conference. Being a Christian is a walk that you have to walk in. It's not a real comfortable walk. People ain't always going to agree with you. People are always going to be on your side. And you know what I'm saying? Basically, you're going to struggle. I mean, there's going to be some good times, and then all of a sudden there might be some bad times. But basically, you're going to have to live the good with the bad in order to get good. Amen. You're going to have to do with the good and the bad. Because basically, God make the good and the bad. Yeah? Right?
Amen. That is so true, that Brother Daniel. Brother Daniel, we're about ready to get on out of here, brother. We got 1 minute here before we go. We want to thank you for continually to support this program. You know you're our co-host, but you're my friend also, brother. Thank you for being my friend, when I was friendless, even when I just was at my lowest point, brother, you was always there, brother. That's what friends do, brother. That's what friends do. That's what Christians do. You're a Christian, not only a friend.
I really thank you.
Thank you.
I really thank you. Thank
you for what you do, man.
Sometimes I be real low and down. I come and I ask you, Brother Lewis, I say, give me a word of upness. Put a good word. Upness. Help me. Help my brother. Help me move up. Help me think up. Help me think up instead of thinking of down.
And that is so true, brother. That is so true. We got our music that's coming up here in the background. It said, our God is an awesome God. I believe that, Brother Dan. You believe that? Our God is an awesome God.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yes, sir. Close out in the word of prayer, brother. And let's give glory and honor to God, our Heavenly Father, this day.
Heavenly Father, as we gather today on this Saturday morning, I ask you to open up the ears of the deaf, Open up the eyes of the blind. Open up the eyes and the ears of the spiritually blind. Help them to hear. Help them to hear your word. Help them to live lives that are productive to this society that we live in. Help them to help people to move and let us be able to go to what's happening in the future. What's going to happen? Let it be for the people of God. Believe that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. So in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Brother Dan. You're listening to another great episode of Free on the Inside with Minister Joel Lewis and Brother Daniel. We're here each and every Saturday morning, and the way Lord permits it. This is Christ did it. He did it. It wasn't anything that we had done. Allowed us to come out each and every morning to be a part of this great show, along with the guests. We want to thank our guest for this morning, Evangelist Roland Simplis. He just shared with us about the end time event, and Brother Daniel, he piggybacked off of that right there. And also, we want to thank you for being a listening, for being a part of our studio audience. Amen. We pray that things go well for you today. Brother Daniel just prayed for you as a whole, but I'd like to just say thank you very much. Thank you for continually to support this show. Thank you for your prayers and your continually listening ear. And we give God the glory as we get ready to wind down here. Well, once again, this is Free on the Inside, the internet program to encourage you, to inform you, and to challenge you to be all you could be in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless
Amen.
You. Have a great day in the Lord. Amen. God bless you.
And
God
be free
bless you.
And be free on the inside.
And be free on the inside. God bless you, Brother Daniel. We'll see you at a later date. Amen. So as we get ready to get on out of here, God bless you. Enjoy your day. Free on the inside. God bless you.